Governor J.B. Pritzker is pushing for legalized marijuana, but it could take longer than most people think to get a bill signed into law to make it happen. That's according to ISU Criminal Justice Sciences Professor Ralph Weisheit. WGLT correspondent Colleen Reynolds talks with Weisheit in advance of his presentation tomorrow evening at the Normal Public Library. Weisheit says the landscape has shifted rapidly on legal marijuana.
The public's image of it has changed dramatically. 20 years ago, the idea of medical would have been just about unheard of outside of California. Recreational would have been completely unheard of. And it's changed far more quickly in the public's eye than it has in the eyes of lawmakers.
But yet, we're at a point now in Illinois where we have a new governor, and he seems very keen and open to the idea of legalizing marijuana for recreational uses, which is so interesting because medical marijuana took quite a while, and even the pilot that we just wrapped up and we're starting a renewal process, it was pretty conservative by a lot of people's standards.
It was extreme. It's probably one of the most conservative processes in the country, and what many people don't realize is that the companies that put millions of dollars into setting up medical marijuana projects were actually happy that it was so conservative, because the more conservative it is, the less likely it is the feds will intervene and cause you problems. If you can show you're being really careful, that you're not just throwing stuff out there to anybody who wants it, the feds are generally going to leave you alone.
Did the first part of that experiment do much to change public opinion, do you think?
I don't know if it was that or the fact that other states were legalizing and you weren't hearing a lot of really terrible things as a result. And I think we also have to keep in mind that the medical has been really low profile. You don't see a lot of stories in the news about, you know, someone on medical now going out and robbing a bank or something. That just hasn't been an issue in the public's eye. And so it seemed pretty benign to many people.
And yet now we've extended that and added a lot of other conditions that will be covered under that. Do you think most people think that's a good thing?
My sense is that the public is fine with the public is, again, probably ahead of lawmakers on this. And for medical purposes, I think the general sense is that the public is believing that it's more good than bad.
So there are several bills pending in the Illinois legislature, including one that was just recently introduced by Carol Ammons, who is willing to let people grow up to 24 of their own pot plants. You know, do you have any sense of how this might shake out based on what you know about public opinion? What kind of restrictions or regulations might go into place if, in fact, Illinois does legalize marijuana?
Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit in the presentation about that proposed law, but I think the important thing to remember is it is a proposed law, and what eventually comes out is going to be very different. And I'm not sure it's so much a matter of the public. I think it's a matter of individual lawmakers having strong feelings one way or another. I think that the law is extremely liberal or free in terms of restrictions in a way that some lawmakers are going to be uncomfortable with, but I think it's a good starting point. I mean, you have to start somewhere. I think people are going to be disappointed if they think we're going to, and obviously I can be wrong on this because much of this has been unanticipated, but they're going to be disappointed if they think we're going to have legalization in the next couple months. It's going to be a slow process.
When you say slow, what do you think the time frame will actually be?
It could easily be maybe until the end of the year, until legislation even gets passed. It would be probably another 6 months or more after that until things go into place.
So in your speech, you are going to be discussing experiences of other countries and other states with this. I know in our own country, it seems that people really think Colorado when they think about legalized pot. And while I agree that there hasn't been a lot of publicity about the negative impacts there, there have been some recently, and a lot of it's coming from the medical community, talking about increased ER visits from people a lot of them taking edible forms of pot and just overdoing it, it sounds like.
Ironically, many of them senior citizens, which is an interesting twist. I think one of the things that the Illinois law is going to have to really think hard about is the issue of edibles. And the problem with edibles is that unlike smoking marijuana, where the effect is pretty much immediate and you can tell if you've had enough. With edibles, it takes a while for it to get into your system, maybe 20 minutes or so. So people take an edible and they say, gee, I didn't feel anything. I better take another one. And so dosing becomes a really big issue with the edibles. And it's easy for, particularly for novices, to simply take too much. And that is a problem.
How would you address that in legislation?
Well, one of the ways will have to be that edibles will have to have limits on THC levels. And of course, then the arguments are going to fall into, well, what is a proper limit? And what is a proper size for an edible? So, you know, you can make edibles the size of candy bars, but no one should eat a candy bar. So do you force them to be in smaller units so that people can more easily control? Again, I think you should, but what those units ought to be, these are all the details that are going to slow down the whole process. This is why it's going to take longer for the law to pass, not because people in the legislature are necessarily opposed to the idea, but they're going to be very concerned about the details, and which gets back to the issue, by the way, of THC levels, even in smokable. Those can vary tremendously. Will the state decide to put a level so that it's not too concentrated? That's a good question. There's nothing about that in the proposed law, but it wouldn't surprise me if something like that showed up in the final version.
We're talking with Dr. Ralph Weisheit, who is a criminal justice professor at Illinois State University, who's going to be talking about legal marijuana in Illinois coming up on Wednesday at the Normal Public Library Community Room. I'm Colleen Reynolds, and we're continuing our discussion here on Sound Ideas. So the devil's in the details. What role do you think the medical community is going to play in crafting what ultimately becomes law? Most of the medical community is against legalizing marijuana for recreational use, but yet they're going to have to weigh in. How influential will that group be?
That remains to be seen. I don't know how mobilized they're going to be on this. I did see one physician who strongly opposes medical but supports recreational, oddly enough. And his logic was, it's out there anyway. We may as well control it. We may as well make sure people aren't getting contaminated products. But he's not convinced that it is of any particular medical use. He says the research just isn't there yet.
It hasn't been studied. The federal government had a ban for up until, I think, recently, right?
Right, absolutely. Well, yeah. It's still, the federal government is getting better about allowing research projects, but it's still a Schedule I drug. It's still a federal crime to have THC in marijuana. And, you know, the long-standing position of the feds has been that it's a Schedule I drug, and that means that it has no recognized medical use. And people say, well, you know, we should change it to Schedule II. No, we can't, they say, because there's no research showing that it has use. Well, why don't we do the research? Well, we can't because we know it's dangerous. And it's kind of circular reasoning. Now, it was a big move, and most people didn't realize this was part of the Farm Bill, but the Farm Bill, which allowed for the production of industrial hemp, also then made it possible for CBD to no longer be in Schedule I. So CBD marijuana, which, by the way, you can find all kinds of oils and ointments. Walgreens just announced they're going to be selling those things. Now, they cannot be promoted as a cure for anything because the Food and Drug Administration has not approved them. But they can sell them over the counter just as a generic, oh, try this. They just can't. They can't say that this will cure your back pain, but they can say, here's an ointment.
And that's a derivative.
Marijuana that we, when you think of marijuana as growing, there are some 400 different chemicals in it. And THC is one of them that alters the consciousness. CBD is another that is not mind-altering. And it's CBD that tends to do things like help infants with seizures control those seizures. There's no intoxication. You don't get high from it. But it does seem to have some medical benefits, but even those have not been properly studied yet.
In the medical community, I know there is a big concern about younger children and that their brain isn't fully developed and that permanent damage can be done. What do you know and what do you hear? What does research show about that?
Well, it's interesting because no one wants teenagers to have access to marijuana, at least no one outside of teenagers, perhaps. But there's an assumption that they don't have access to it now. And in fact, they do have access to it now. In fact, there have been some studies that have found that it's easier for teenagers to get marijuana than to get alcohol. And because you have to show an ID to get alcohol, or you have to find someone who's older who get it for you. And when you want to buy marijuana, nobody asks for your age or your ID. And so the idea that it'll suddenly become available is probably not true. One of the things we know from Colorado is that use by teenagers from these self-report studies has not gone up when it's become legal. In fact, use by teenagers has kind of drifted down a little bit. Now, why would that be true? I don't actually know. Sometimes making predictions about patterns of drug use is like trying to predict fashion. You can look back in hindsight, but predicting ahead of time can be tough.
Let's talk about what else you know about what other countries and their experience and how that has filtered over to what's happened in the United States and other states that have legalized and whether that might impact Illinois.
I think the United States is really behind some other countries, but I don't think we're using them as models. I think we're lagging. You know, Uruguay was the first country to legalize, but it's only for Uruguay citizens. The government produces it. There are limits on how much you can get at a time. Mexico is looking to probably legalize very quickly. In fact, their Supreme Court in November of 2018 ruled that completely banning recreational use was unconstitutional. And you now have lawmakers in Mexico who want to legalize it, not because they're suddenly tolerant, but because they want to try to undercut the traffickers. And hoping that if they take that part of the profit away from traffickers, the traffickers will be weaker and perhaps there will be less violence. Whether that's true or not, only time will tell.
What has been the experience in states that have legalized marijuana? Has the black market dried up? Is there less violence connected to the drug trade?
It's not clear that there was ever a lot of violence connected to the marijuana trade. That's more typical of heroin, cocaine, the harder drugs. Things haven't really changed dramatically. You do have issues, and there are questions about things like driving under the influence. That's a major concern. A genuine, serious concern. There continues to be a black market everywhere. Part of the problem from a control perspective is that marijuana is just really easy to grow. And people, particularly in more rural areas, more remote areas, can continue to grow and may feel that there's not much pressure to stop because the laws are more lenient. In California, for example, I just saw that the governor is sending National Guard troops up to the northern part of the state to take out growers who are not registered with the state, but that's a challenge. So the black market's not going away. What has happened is prices have dropped because the supply has gone up and prices have gone down, which has taken some of the profit out of the black market. It's also a positive from a user's perspective has been that if you buy from someone who is registered with the state, you have some assurance that you're not getting toxic chemicals or other drugs mixed in with what you're buying. Because there's a huge issue of things like PCP and other drugs being put in with marijuana that you'd buy on the street. And you just never know when you're buying from sources like that. It's very similar to what happened during alcohol prohibition, where you never knew which alcohol was going to be poisonous.
So the tax that is expected to be generated if we legalize marijuana in Illinois seems to be a driving factor. Do you think it's more of a factor than, say, reducing the black market?
My guess is it depends on who you talk to. I think people who might otherwise, and I'm thinking now lawmakers, who might otherwise be reluctant to pass legislation like that, might see the financial side of it as a reason to go ahead. I don't know if it would be the driving force for most people, but it's not inconsequential.
The estimates, $300 million I've heard, all the way to $700 million a year. Is there any way to really know?
No. There's no, in fact, there aren't even agreements, and there have been several, I think three studies now, on whether the available supply will be there to meet the demand. And two of the studies say, oh, there's going to be plenty, and one of the studies say, not enough. And they're all three talking about whether the existing marijuana cultivators can meet the demand for recreation. Those who are now cultivating for medical purposes, are they going to be able to ramp up? They say yes, of course. At least one study says, no, that's not going to happen. And by the way, the issue of how much should be produced is a really interesting one. It's the same issue that farmers face. How much corn do you plant? Because you don't know what the market's necessarily going to be at the end. And you have a state like Oregon where they had literally millions of dollars of excess. Now, what do they do with all this? And unlike corn, you can't really store marijuana for long periods of time unless you can somehow freeze it because it'll rot. I mean, it's a green leafy plant, and it will, you can dry it, but at some point it's going to start getting moldy and be a problem.
And you can't ship it anywhere.
Right. You can't ship it anywhere. That's right. And it will still continue to be illegal to move marijuana out of Illinois or into Illinois because you're crossing state lines, which means you're violating federal law. And the state law is pretty clear that it's not going to encourage or allow any movement in and out.
Well, there's so much we could cover. People who are listening can certainly attend your speech, which again is going to be Wednesday night, 7 o'clock at the community room at Normal Public Library. But in states like California, they tried to designate donate a certain percentage of the profit, if you want to call it, or tax revenue, for projects that would basically benefit, I think, the community, the state, children. And they're having problems seeing that that money actually gets to those altruistic uses. Do you think Illinois is going to try to put in a sweetener like that of some sort?
Well, the law that is proposed actually puts half of the money into the general revenue fund, and then it splits it out across the school fund, across some of the retirement funds. They put a little in there for everybody, I think, as a way to garner some support. You know, the issue, we also have the other issue, by the way, that it looks at the moment as though the federal government is going to pass legislation to allow banking, and that will be enormous, because right now, California, their big crisis is everything has to be in cash. You can't charge any marijuana purchase. You can't take checks. No bank will take checks. And so you have, you know, we're talking multi-millions of dollars all in cash, which is just a target for robbers. It's almost an invitation for corruption. So if the feds go through and pass this legislation that allows banking, Illinois has already done that kind of thing, but quite frankly, Illinois is more symbolic because it's ultimately the feds that decide what banks can and cannot do. So if they pass that, that will be an enormous boon to the proper use of the money. That money will not be siphoned off, which could easily happen if you're just talking cash.
Criminal Justice Professor Ralph Weisheit of Illinois State University spoke with GLT correspondent Colleen Reynolds. Weisheit also says it appears the Federal Veterans Administration is considering medical use of marijuana for post-traumatic stress disorder, but it's unclear how that could be supplied, especially in states that still prohibit medical use of cannabis. Again, Weisheit will speak tomorrow evening at 7 at the Normal Public Library.